Arsenal are going to Wembley into the EFL Cup final. 1-0 on the night, 4-2-1 aggregate. Kai Havertz of all people to score the only goal to bury Chelsea. What a night. So much to talk about. Waka waka. This is the Real Arsenal Deal podcast. Hello and welcome back to the Real Arsenal Deal. Rav here as always. Another post-match instant reaction coming to you just minutes after the final whistle. I am recording here outside on a glorious sunny Melbourne morning. And what a time. What a morning. What a night to be an Arsenal fan. Arsenal into the EFL Cup final, the Carabao Cup. It's a fantastic, fantastic result. Look, I'm smiling like the Cheshire Cat. If you're watching on YouTube, as you can see, I can't get the grin off my face. That was awesome. My first reaction when I saw the assistant referee hold up 6 minutes was I was irate. I was like, where did they get 6 minutes from? There was really nothing really of note in that second half that called for an injury time of that amount. I think the first half was 1 minute, and it was a pretty it was a pretty scrappy affair throughout. There was lots of fouls, lots of stoppages and delays, and players, you know, flopping about and taking a bit of time to get up and reset. To go from 1 minute to six, I was thinking, what is going on? Like, how did he do that? And then all of a sudden, if any team utilized that 6 minutes better, it was Arsenal. In fact, I don't really recall Chelsea. Did they have a shot on target in that second half? Someone please correct me if I'm wrong. They're chasing the tie. They're down on aggregate this match, but the commentators would have you believe that this is going precisely to plan, that this is some kind of tactical masterclass from Chelsea, that things are falling in their favour and they're going to throw everything at Arsenal in the second half, and it just didn't eventuate. I recall there was a shot on goal. I think it was the first half that Kepa had parried away, maybe a couple of half scrappy moments from a corner, but I don't recall, especially in that closing 25, 30 minutes when they've made their subs, and they've made some good subs too, of course. They've had Palmer and Estevao up their sleeve off the bench. Can someone please correct me? Did they register a shot on target? I know late on, Enzo found himself in a bit of space about 10 minutes to go, but he's put one into row Z. I think it's just coming down now out of orbit. It might be landing on this on the southern hemisphere, so I'll keep an eye on that ball. Could be appearing any minute on screen. But I don't really recall them having anything of note. I mean, watching the match and listening to the commentary, well, I'm not sure what feed you all get in other parts of the world, but listening to the commentary in Australia on BN Sports, that have you believe that this is just some kind of absolute masterclass from Chelsea. And I couldn't believe what I was listening to sometimes. I often turn the volume down anyway, because it's most of the commentary is pretty consistently average. But watching with my two sons, and they're both looking at me thinking like, is that right, Dad? Is that true? Is this going to plan? And I'm saying no, boys. This is Arsenal are doing just fine here. Sure, we're not creating clear cut chances at the other end, and we've ceded a bit of possession and a bit of space. But this is the nature of cup football. It's a two legged semi final tie for a reason. You pace yourself over the 180 minutes. And I thought Arsenal just held them at arm's length, and I wasn't particularly troubled at all. So look, anyway, that was just a random aside. From what I see, from what my own eyes, I think Arsenal have played this beautifully. And you look, you know, we know it should have been more comfortable from the first leg. That was a classic. I've heard it described as a 4-1 match that ended 3-2. I think we can all share a sense of what if from that. You know, had we taken our chances then and not conceded a couple of silly late goals in the first leg at Stamford Bridge, the entire dynamic changes here, and it informs what we can or can't do with selection. It probably meant we wouldn't have needed to play as full, as strong, essentially as strong an 11 as possible. But all that, it is what it is, right? Like this is the nature of football. So I knew we were in control. We were the better team across both legs. We were the better team across 180 minutes. And deservedly, Arsenal are going to Wembley. And I'm so happy for Kai Havertz. I am absolutely thrilled for him. It was just, out of all the people, out of all the stories, all the narratives you could have written for Arsenal then, it wasn't even the last minute of injury time. Like, he kept playing. The referee went well beyond 6 minutes. I think we've scored. It was just after 97 minutes, actually, that the goal came through when we broke away. We broke away with space, with players forward. We had shirts committed forward. Chelsea, obviously, were all in their attacking half, trying to find a goal. And out of all the players, I saw Havertz drifting there, and I was hoping that Rice could get it over him. It was a lovely cross in the end. I think Chalobah was back there. He wasn't able to block it. And Kai Havertz, I'm going to watch this moment again and again and again. Just so, so lovely. The way he just took his time, rounded the keeper and slotted home. Great scenes, pointing straight to the badge. That's always a surefire way to garner favor from the home crowd. But he didn't do it for that reason. This was almost a cathartic moment for Kai Havertz with what he's been through. Two very, very serious long-term injuries. He's missed 12 months of football, basically. And it's their livelihoods. It's so, so difficult for players to be out for that length of time. And what can often happen in such a fast-pacing industry, elite sport, is that the game can go past you. Clubs can go past you, right? And look, it's just a reminder. He is so, so integral to Arsenal, that he's so valued within the club. You only need to hear how Arteta talks about him, how these teammates or players refer to him. Like, he is so vital. And to have him back in the group is one thing. That's enormous enough because of what's on the cards, the bigger picture for Arsenal the next 3 to 4 months. To have him back and to be able to manage his load, that's going to be huge because we want him starting those really big crunch matches, whether in midfield or forward. I don't particularly mind because he's that integral. He's that cohesive of footballer. He links whatever we do, which wherever he's standing on the pitch. But for him to come on in the second half against Chelsea of all teams, the song as well, like how it was, they serenaded him even post match with that song. It was just such heartwarming stuff. So lovely, lovely stuff for Kai Havertz. I'm so, so happy for him. It made all that worth it, right? Like sitting through that second half and sitting through that listening to that dire commentary, and then watching the referee just have the whistle in his mouth but not blow it, let them keep playing as Chelsea, you know, came play after play to try and, you know, to lump the ball forward, and for Arsenal to break away and have us to score it. It was all worth it. I'd do it all again. There was plenty of feeling in this match, as there quite often is between Arsenal and Chelsea. Look, Arsenal and Chelsea have quite a long history. I mean, we all know that. I've spoken about this on the channel before. I don't watch too much of Chelsea, and when I do, I'm quite often baffled. How do they get away with so much flopping around and diving, and all the little things all those edicts that you hear from the referees that, you know, you're not meant to crowd around the referees, you can only talk to the captain. It's just utterly bizarre watching them go about their way for 90 minutes. The way they sulk, the way they sook. There's like, you know, like tactical fouling is a thing in football. That absolutely is. Tactical refereeing surrounding is also a thing. Chelsea do it well. They almost take turns. Who's going to crowd the referees? Is it going to be Caicedo, Cucurella having a sulk? Okay, this time it's Enzo. It's someone else, Fofana. I just don't know how they continually get away with it. They almost try and orchestrate the match in their favour. They're like assistant referees. I don't know how they continue to get away with it. And look, it's I don't want to talk too much about the officiating really here, but I don't think the referee handled the temperature of the match. It was a spicy match, very cagey. There was plenty left in from both teams. Both teams were doing it. Like, sometimes you just got to let them go at it. And of course, you step in when things get really, really over the top. However, there was a lot of fouls that just weren't fouls. And as the match went on and on, I just felt the referee couldn't quite handle the temperature. What I will say, though, what I absolutely will say, and full credit to the referee, I think Peter Banks, I think they mentioned his name, the way he didn't get sucked in by the flopping of Chelsea. Like, as the match went on and on into that second half, it was embarrassing the way that they would just go down at any slight contact, trying to buy a penalty. They were claiming a handball when it's come off, like Martinelli's hands are by his side and it's come off his hip. It was embarrassing. And João Pedro has tried to flop when Gabriel has clearly beaten him to the ball. He's tried to flop for a penalty. The Gusto one was, oh my God, that's absolutely embarrassing. I love that Hincapié just sort of gave him both barrels at the time. And, you know, fair play to the referee. He didn't get sucked in. He actually gave Gusto a yellow card for that. So fair play to him. But look, yeah, it just makes the victory sweeter when you see a team conduct themselves, like grown men conduct themselves in that manner. And they didn't deserve it. putting all that, all their behavior aside, they actually didn't deserve it on the performance either. Like I've been saying, like, can someone point to me their shots on target? Show me where they've troubled Arsenal too much. Show me where they've had repeated chances and you know, created dangerous moments inside their box. I'd be open to hearing it, but from what I saw, Arsenal are deserved winners across this tie. And I know full well in making comments about Chelsea, there's something about that particular fan base. I don't quite often get nasty comments or anything on any of my posts, but I there's something about Chelsea. Maybe the algorithm sends this their way. So I do seem to have a bit of a Chelsea contingent who follow me around. And they look, they're welcome to post. You're welcome to listen. Not a problem. I got no issue with that. I'm a 45-year-old grown man. I can handle it. You just don't need to get nasty, I guess. You know, there's quite often some racist comments that come my way. They quite often say things about my appearance, my grey hair. Look, mate, I'm well aware. I'm absolutely well aware. It only seems to originate from the Chelsea fan base. I'm not trying to generalize or anything, but there's just something about that club. Maybe it's Arsenal as well. Arsenal are so disliked that, you know, there is an online contingent who just want to follow the content and bring others down as well. But look, this is a tremendous result for Arsenal. It absolutely is tremendous. I think this is really important that Arsenal lift this trophy. I mean, you could see it with the way we've approached this tie. Anytime you get to a semi-final of a competition, right, you got to go for it. It's one thing in the earlier rounds, the early preliminary rounds, of course, they're a great chance to use squad players, play some youth, give some debuts to younger players and rest your senior key guys, all of that. But then you progress through the first few rounds and you start to see a pathway to the final. And you think, well, you know, there's a genuine chance to lift a trophy, to play a cup final at Wembley in February, it's actually March, I believe, the fixture is in this season. So, I mean, the players want this. You hear the Arsenal players, they're all talking unison about this. Like, we want to win things. I think the club has had enough of being sort of close, but not close enough. I'm paraphrasing here, but just recently the likes of Saliba has said something along the lines of he's sick of ending the season with no medals in his pockets. And this is exactly what they want. This is the mentality. I mean, look at the way the players reacted. Look at post-match. Even as we've defended late and Saliba's riling up the crowd, he knows that there's just the closing seconds now to see this through, that we've got one foot in a cup final. They want this. They all want to play. They want to lift that trophy. And I'm sure that for the fan base as well, we're eager to see us play in a cup final, to lift a trophy. I'm sure the away day fans, as I record this, probably already planning trips to Wembley, trying to secure travel arrangements, trying to secure tickets when it goes on sale. So this is massive for Arsenal. If you lift a trophy in March, I mean, I think we're all mature enough to know that for Arsenal's, that the current state of Arsenal as a football institution, that the Carabao Cup on its own is not sufficient to satisfy our appetite. I think we all know that. And multiple things can be true at once. We can still go for it because we've got the squad and the depth and the investment to do so. And we can also know that this can be a stepping stone to some further glory, some greatness in the coming months. Like, once we get a taste for winning, you want more of it. So back to the match itself. Sorry, I was too excited earlier when I was smiling like a Cheshire Cat about the Havertz goal. Forgot to mention selection. Look, it was largely what I expected. I thought maybe White would start at right back, but I fully expected Saliba, Gabriel. Kepa, look, I'm glad he's got his moment as well, because it's, like cup keepers, it has been a bit of a thing as well. And Arteta's usually consistent with that. So look, it remains to be seen what we do for the final, but that's a conversation for another time. So I'm glad Kepa's got to be involved, because you never know when you're going to need him. Hincapié at left back, yes, it just seems it's a bit too soon for Calafiori to start. I was thinking in a match of this temperature, maybe Lewis Skelly, he might play there. But look, fair enough. If the circumstances were different, if we had that lead from the first leg, as I mentioned before, maybe this would have been a chance to play White and Lewis Skelly. Midfield, I fully expected with a full-strength midfield for Chelsea, Caicedo trying to kick everyone off the pitch for 90 minutes. I fully expected Zubimendi and Rice to start. Eze, nice to see him start. Nice to see him given the 90 minutes with that very significant injury now to Mikel Merino. If I was the likes of him or Lewis Skelly, for example, I'd be looking at this as a tremendous opportunity in the next few months to really put their hand up, bang on Mikel Arteta's door to say, hey, boss, I'm ready for the challenge. I can step in for those minutes and I can step in on the big occasions. And great to see Eze play. Madueke, good to see him start, because Saka is injured. It's finally been confirmed now from Arteta. I think he mentioned a hip injury. possibility of missing maybe a couple of weeks. We'll have to wait and see on that one. Odegaard as well is injured. He's maybe a chance for this weekend. But again, you know, Arteta doesn't reveal too much. He plays his cards close to the chest. And then Gyökeres and Martinelli have started as well. So largely as expected. I will say, just on those injuries I just mentioned, wasn't it just a week or so ago, I think I and many others were lauding the fact that aside from Max Daumann, we essentially had a full group back in full training. And fast forward a week and we've lost Marino, unfortunately, for the season. That's a massive, massive blow. I wish him well. It's a World Cup year as well. And he's such a versatile, integral footballer. Utmost professional. I wish him the absolute best. Hope to see him back soon. And then we've also lost Odegaard and Saka. So look, it's just the nature of football. This is why you've got to build a squad out, because you never know week to week anything can happen. And we just got to have those contingency plans. So the opener of the match, I think Arsenal deliberately tried to set the scene here. I think we're sick of seeing the likes of Cucurella just get, you know, 4 to 5 cheap shots into Saka in the opening 15, 20 minutes, and then he eventually gets a red card on the 6th or 7th time he does it. I think Arsenal just said, enough's enough. We know how they play. We know what he's looking to do. Timber, on that side of the pitch, he got a couple in himself. Maybe a few preemptive strikes. Look, they were clear fouls, of course. But I think they've done this on purpose, just to set the tone, to say, hey, we're not going to be bullied anymore. This is not on. We're going to give back as good as we get. And I love to see it, to be honest. There was also another moment. They didn't replay it too much. Was it Eze? Or was it Madueke, who also came in hard on Cucurella? It's good. Just set the scene. Just say, hey, we're here. We're not going anywhere. And we're going to give it back both barrels as well. So, you know, it was a very spicy match, very cagey. There was a penalty shout, a genuine penalty shout later on in the match that I haven't mentioned as yet. Look, I get it. He's got the ball first as Martinelli's been played through. But you watch the replay. Each replay, I start to see something more and more with that trailing leg. It seems like it's just stuck out, or he's swept a Martinelli with his left leg. He's got him with that trailing leg. It's one of those things that you've seen them given. Had it been given on live, I don't think they're overturning that one. But upon replay, is there enough to convince you of a penalty, especially when they get the ball first? It's look, there's a threshold there that maybe is one of those genuine 50-50 moments. You can argue either way, but otherwise there was a lot left on the challenges. Teams were going, you know, it was very spicy, a lot of verbal as well. I think Chelsea want to bring us down, and they're probably sick of not being able to beat us. I think it's 10 matches now unbeaten that they haven't been able to overcome Arsenal. And look, long may that continue. I hope we get to 20, 25, 30, 50. Keep it going against that club of all teams with the level of money they spend. And yeah, look, and the way they conduct themselves on the pitch too, this makes it all the more sweeter from my point of view. So I think, like I said, Arsenal deserved this. We got into halftime. I was maybe a little bit edgy because I would have loved a goal, especially just the one goal differential, as I've mentioned before, coming in from the first tyre. I wish we would have been a bit more comfortable, but it is what it is. We handled the occasion just fine. The crowd was certainly up for it. They were very noisy all night. And as the match went on and as they made their subs, I think we responded in kind. Like we held ourselves together, held our shape. Like I've said, I'm still thinking about it. I cannot recall Chelsea having any meaningful chances on goal, especially as they're chasing the tie. It was just quite comfortable, despite what you may feel watching the match, the tension you may feel in the stadium or listening to the commentary. I think Arsenal were quite comfortable. We negated them very well. Gabriel and Saliba were imperious as always. Dilap was trying to buy a number of fouls. He got a yellow card himself. Came off soon after. And their replacements didn't really get into the game. Estevao came on. Nice to see him back. I understand there's been some family personal issues for him, so I absolutely wish him well. He was probably harsh to be booked on Timber. It was definitely a foul for me, but maybe a bit harsh to be booked. But other than that, I don't really recall them having meaningful chances. There was one foul that we gave away right outside the box in a real danger spot too. Palmer lined it up. There was a long, long delay, long setup. They were trying to put Kepa off with a couple of players standing directly in front of him, which is like pretty embarrassing, really, that you're not really going to get away with that. Like just a weird pushing and shoving around the wall. Eze's lying down behind the wall. They're trying to argue over a couple of centimetres or something. This is what they do. They just look for any slight opportunity to exploit like that. Like just on footballing merits, they're not able to win on merits like that. They have to find other avenues and loopholes towards success. And look, it is that ball was easily blocked, and we cleared it from there. And like I said, I don't recall anything else major that Chelsea troubled us with. And from there, we just handled ourselves quite professionally. We've seen the game through, strung together passes, kept the ball away from them, and we got our moment absolutely late on. As I've said before, and maybe it's a good note to end on again, Kai Havertz, enjoy your moment. I hope he gets serenaded. I hope he absolutely enjoys it, because it was just fantastic for him of all people, to have Waka Waka ringing around the Emirates Stadium again. Wow, how I've missed that. It's a fantastic moment for Arsenal under the circumstances to win it at the death like that and have it to all people. It's just beautiful. I couldn't have scripted it better. And I hope everyone as well can appreciate the significance of that. Have it to all people. And the scenes were fantastic amongst the players, amongst the bench. Arteta, like it was great. It was so weird that he was booked as well, essentially for, I think he was having a chuckle with the fourth official. But anyway, look, I don't want to give too much more airtime for the officiating stuff. It's just a great moment. The story is all about Arsenal. It's all about Kai Havertz and the way we've handled this occasion. And we're going to Wembley. We're into a cup final. It's so significant that Arsenal see this through now, lift this trophy, to use it as a stepping stone to propel us for further success, because there's something very, very special on the horizon over the next few months for Arsenal Football Club. I'm absolutely on board. I'm on the boat, as Mikel said. I hope you are too. Thank you so much for watching. Please like and subscribe if you're watching on YouTube. If you're listening on audio platforms, please kindly follow the show. Leave me a 5-star review. That will be so, so great. Leave me any comments or feedback or any questions you want me to cover or answer. Thank you so much for all the recent activity I've had to the channel and to my podcast. It is greatly appreciated. I've just ticked over 12 months of this 30 years following Arsenal, 1 year podcasting. And like Arsenal themselves, I'm going to keep going. So thank you to you all. Enjoy this moment, please. Relish it. Watch the replay again and again, as I'm about to do. And I'll talk to you all soon. I'll be back on in a few days' time, because we take it on Sunderland this weekend. And another massive opportunity for us to go ahead, further ahead in the Premier League with 6 points clear, thanks to Spurs and thanks to Brentford doing Villa at home. And it's just a glorious time. There's a genuine pathway to major success for Arsenal. Enjoy it, because I will too. Look after yourselves. I'll talk to you soon. Check in with your loved ones, and come on, Arsenal.